Once again, here we are. This is the 23rd of February, 2016. This is this is the course Tools for the Times, and we are on Block 4, Session 2, and Part 2 in Being in Conscious Relationship. Once again, I wanted to underscore the excitement of the upcoming lessons, including this one, because they are so rich and because they are fresh. There's a lot of new information that's coming through on those. So I'm very excited to have this as the tail end of this long, long journey we've had, which is really, for those who've been involved since the beginning, which is most of you, this is almost going to be a year's worth of work. Wow, we need to go to dinner or something to celebrate. Of course, we'll have to all be in a different place, but I think we can work it out. So here we are, being in conscious relationship, and last time we looked at the nature of relationship. We looked at purging Piscean and embracing Aquarian elements. We looked at conscious relationship with energy bodies and conscious relationship with self. And that's where I was so moved that I needed to end the call, with conscious relationship with self. I have to say that a lot has occurred for me in terms of also what I'm witnessing around me and the way that relationships with self and others has been a very strong vibration of change in these times. Lots of shifts and changes are occurring not only with people in the class, but people that are around me who have been, let's just say, sitting on the pot for too long. And change is happening in a very quick way that is really inviting them to choose to be more conscious about who and how they and who with and how they spend their time, in terms of how they are nurturing self and being fully present for self and others and the cosmos. Let's include it all. So you can see there's a lot going on tonight. We are looking at conscious relationship with others, although something tells me we got into that, but I don't think we did. Did we do nature? Gosh, I'm just not remembering any of this stuff. We're looking to get others, etheric beings and dimensions, being in and living in love, the care and feeding of relationships, the seduction of loss, pain, and abandonment, and the shadow of forgiveness, and a load of additional activities you're probably going to have to do on your own. So I'm going to go ahead and just play one quick tune, maybe two, just to set a vibration here. And first I'm going to use a little Tibetan bowl that I have. It's a sweet little sound that kind of comes in at the heart but moves up and kind of embraces the head as I feel it. Yeah, it moves straight up and like an oval. Goes around the head and embraces the head and connects that to the heart. That is very sweet. I'm not sure you actually felt that, but I did. My apologies, the additional lyrics have not been added, nor have I made the adjustment to the missing lyrics on the fourth of those little tunes that are on the page, and as I only see that now that I look at them. But just get a sense now as you connect with your feet and you realize that relationship is huge in our incarnation and in this dimension. It really is about our connection with everything. That's a word I don't normally use, but it is all-encompassing. It talks about the relationship with all of humanity, with all of the beings, with all of the etheric beings, with the kingdoms, all of the things that we've talked about in this course. And it is a conscious, evolving process that keeps serving us and reflecting the state of our inner being over and over and over again. Again, the deeper we get into this, the more respect and awe I have for the creative source, for the actual design of this. Once we get beyond the smokescreen of the Piscean period and we begin to see that things are not just these fabrications of limitation, but we begin to taste the expansiveness, pardon me on that, the expansiveness of the I am that I am expressing as you and me and all of us, It just takes the breath away. It's just a stunning experience, and that only invites me to keep saying yes more loudly and more loudly, and to experience the results of that in deeper and deeper ways. And I hope that you're experiencing something that is in alignment with where you are and what you're choosing to do, because I'm, as the old vernacular said, dude, I'm pretty stoked about this. You and I are one with the whole of life. All are in a union with the holy light. Every single thought, every word and form, in the heart of God eternally born. You and I are one with the whole of life. All are in a union with the holy light. Every single thought, every word and form, in the heart of God eternally born. You and I are one with the whole of life. All are in a union with the holy light. Every single thought, every word and form, in the heart of God eternally born. In the heart of God eternally born. Well, the more I was singing that, the more I realized it was a song about oneness, which again is the invitation we have at the very tail end of this block and the conclusion for all of our sessions. But the oneness is looming out there and beginning to infiltrate itself into the information that's coming through about each of these particular topics. So, here we go. I hope, again, you've refreshed. I think that everything would work even if you didn't get a chance to refresh, except you wouldn't have information under applying your awareness of being in conscious relationship. But that is there now. We're going to go right to the seduction of loss, pain, and abandonment and get a couple elements out of the way, because the more I thought about this, the more I began to see that this transition between relationship as seen in the Piscean and then unfolding in the Aquarian is messy. And it's messy because of certain beliefs that were implanted as well as supported incarnation after incarnation that had us viewing how we were in relationships and the result of us not getting what we want. And one of the reasons it came to pass to be even addressing this was because I was chatting with someone about the nature of pain. They were talking about being unwilling to do something different, maybe even to be in relationship again, because they didn't want to face the pain, or they didn't want to experience that pain again. And I started to think about what that was about. And this is why this particular seduction of loss, pain, and abandonment is being presented. So rather than give it away in my story here, I'll go ahead and read the information and then make comments on it as new ideas and new guidance comes in. After generations and lifetimes of believing in and claiming the experience that life is hard, that it is all about loss and pain, that we are all abandoned and will eventually die, it is easy to see why the ideas are so impactful on most humans. With no evidence that these sinners have any capacity to move out of limitations, why would anyone want to invest their time and effort in the otherwise? Accepting things as the way they are and doing our best to stay the course is even a celebrated strategy in some ways and in some cultures. When the cells and tissues and memories are replete with the energetic residue of the losses and subsequent physical, emotional, and mental pain, what is the motivation to look through that and see promise or even hope? It would appear that there is just no other way, and so the misbelief keeps on the road of less than through the art and music and cinema and lives of the masses, perpetuating itself. You do realize, as an aside here, that it is the arts that serve a mighty task in perpetuating the misinformation, but yet at the same time giving glimpses of other possibilities, and thus for a lot of people driving them into difficulty because they don't understand it. It's the process of two elements running up against one another. One is the old way, and the other is the knowing of the unfolding new way. And in some ways, that's what the art plays out over and over again, until it doesn't, until it evolves in itself. As a songwriter, songs that I used to write, well, before I started this path in, let's say, 1987, 89, the topics were really very personal and about the seduction of loss, pain, and abandonment. Because what seemed to sell and what people would connect to was finding some expression of a wounding that they had had, that for whatever reason they were unable to find words themselves. And so they turned to the bards of the time, those who were invested in creating to give expression to these things that at the time seemed expressionless. They were really sensations and moods and emotions and feelings that would move through but not have the substance enough to be able to be understood and, better yet, released. And so there's nothing like a good cry to a song that you connect with, or to a piece of art, or to a movie, or to a book, or to a radio, late-night radio talk show with someone in angst who happens to be carrying the same issues that you do and is talking about them as if you were on the radio yourself. It's beautiful how it all orchestrates itself. And I think the more we begin to see this, the more... I don't want to say the simpler it will get, but the more we see it, the easier it will flow for us, because we will learn to surrender to the moment and realize the gift that is there. The more we release the pain itself, which we know by now is the energetic residue, the unexpressed energy behind the storage of the woundings that we have had since we have incarnated and even before. Pain let me stop on that, because I'm probably just going to start talking about all this. Let me go back to the actual content. When the cells and tissues and memories are replete, I did that. When we enter at the point of incarnation, there are some significant consequences that each must absorb and eventually make peace with. There is loss. There is physical pain. There is separation and the feeling of abandonment. Leaving the perfect home in the womb is a profound shock to the system. The fact that the infant must be in its current physically helpless state, cared for from the outside, forces immediate issues of trust to be made manifest. The separation from the knowing of our God self and cosmic connection further isolates us in this island in space. And those losses are profound and visceral and easily misinterpreted to define for most the idea that Earth and this life are really not that great of a situation. These energetic beliefs influence our moments of living mightily until we reawaken to the bigger picture that we are so much more than we have allowed. And this waking up for many over the last 2,000 years really didn't happen. It wasn't until the tail end of here, and actually the boomer generation, that begin to ignite the words and the ideas that were put forth previously, usually around the turn of the 20th century, the movement into the 20th century in the late 1800s with the transcendentalists and all of those artists, writers, wasn't necessarily music at the time, but they were beginning to translate metaphysics and the idea of being beyond the physical, that there was also much more. And the seeds that were planted became a part of the viscera of the boomer generation because they came in on that frequency. Not everybody retained it. Well, that's not true. Everyone retained it, but most forgot it. Thus the nature of the dimension. Where was I? These energetic beliefs influence our moments mightily. Okay, we view relationship as potential for loss, pain, and abandonment. Often we enter a new situation wrapped in a veil of fear, expecting for it to not really work out. The forces of attraction and the laws of the cosmos attract all that is necessary to make manifest your fears. We see the self-fulfilling prophecy and round it goes, one after the other. People brought in to help us see ourselves. The inevitable losses lead to a growing reservoir of pain. Believing that someone is supposed to fill the hole for us further leads to the pressure to make this relationship fit, even though the red flags are everywhere. Am I the only one who's ever done that? I hope not. The recipe for disaster is being cooked up, and the oven is on. The reason I'm even approaching this is because it's so fundamental to our experience of relationship and fundamental in allowing us to transcend the way it used to be, to begin to integrate these beautiful Aquarian energies that are coming in. To call it for what it is and to say that we have duped is not about getting our pitchforks and running to the castle so we can destroy the demons. It's really about going, oh, okay, I get that. Well, now that makes sense. So what now? What can I do in this new frequency? As long as we perceive relationship as potential loss and the feelings of abandonment and pain are underneath, then we are probably going to get close to the same old, over and over again. It's as if we are programmed for failure. The game has been played for so long that it might as well be a program. The real truth here is that one can change it whenever they honestly choose to and are willing to follow through on their decision. That's pretty critical. This thing of choice is an element that underscores... Sounds like we're having an earthquake here, but my chair rolled over my sandal, causing me to bang into the guitar, which fell. See how relationships work? It's pretty funny. The real truth here is that one can change it whenever they honestly choose to. We soon learn how we continue to contribute to the global misinformation and form dysfunctional relationships that show us our wounds in order to get clear. Do you hear that? All the relationships you and I have had up to this point have been vehicles to give us clarity about who we are and how we function in this interaction of relationship. No one ever told us that there was like breadcrumbs between all the relationships. And most people run around blindly, say, you know, just watching themselves move from one to another and not seeing the thread that connects them all. Until now. In these times, we're beginning to see that nothing is held back in terms of giving us the awareness of how we are creating the very thing that we are trying to run away from. Sadly, the filters of loss, pain, and abandonment divert the real meaning of the events, and we get mired in the wishing and hoping and the poor me dance. So do you hear how this undergirding of believing in relationships create loss, they result in pain, and that the abandonment is there, when several of these are actually original woundings that came through the incarnation process? It was actually our little stamp of being incarnated into Earth. Here you go. Here's your gift pack. this you can take with you. This will help you along the way eventually, but here you go. And off we go with this handful of burning debris that is going to probably create chaos for quite some time. And we enter in great and good faith. So we get mired in the wishing and hoping and poor me dance until we don't. With conscious effort, we open to the inner truth that loss is usually a perception that uses limited vision to mask the bigger meaning of a relation on a relationship or event. That pain is really an unexpressed reservoir of energy waiting to be released, with so much emotional debris that it sweeps through our system in such a foreign way that we perceive it as pain, and thus run from it, fear it, push it away. That abandonment happens at the hands of those we thought loved us, or better yet, we saddled them with the expectation and hope and pressure to fill our whole wounds and make everything okay. In a sense, we were all set up, in some ways by the design, but mostly by the evolution of how it unfolded through that Piscean time. Piscean time was great. It was like the Wild West, man. Anything could happen, and it did. There was chaos, and there was discomfort and pain and crappy behavior and manipulations and all of those things that gave us a taste of what we are capable of doing. And it also presented us with the opportunity to decide whether we wanted to stay in that frequency or not, because that in no way is the design of who we are, and yet it is a flavor of who we are. So when it comes down to choice of how we want to show up in our moments, we had to go through, and we continue to have to go through these elements in relationship, because it's such a powerful proving ground for us to reveal the essence of who we are and what we're going to choose to be in this breath and in this moment. With conscious self-care, we uncover the truth beneath each of these agreed-upon ways of being to find that we can be there through any loss or abandonment, and show up with loving support for ourselves. We learn that pain is reduced by understanding and the reduction of the unexpressed wound energy, and that the primary relationship to nurture is our own for ourselves. That is huge. We no longer hide behind the fear of stepping out of our comfort zone, of taking risks in life with new people, of trusting life and the bigger picture, of allowing our awareness to expand and see life through fresh eyes of love, of releasing the need to use pain as a deterrent for a juicier, more fulfilling life. As long as we practice conscious and consistent self-care, we can ride the waves of all relationships that are magnetized into our lives, seeing them for the grand gift that each one is. No longer seduced by misinformation and the devotion to the stuffing of the past, we embark on an adventurous exploration of the beautiful expanse of life, if we choose. That's a meaty paragraph, because it capitalizes and reminds us of what can be and what we can choose to do. And you see that throughout all of these lessons, it has been about awareness and choice. That those are the pieces that determine everything, that determine how life will show up for us, how we will show up for life, who the players are in the given moment, all of that. And when we begin to see the dance that has occurred as these relationships have wound through our lives, we begin to see what a delightful, and I know that may not feel what it's like, but in retrospect and in the bigger picture, what a delightful dance it has been, because of the way it unfolded. No one, not even the great source herself, could have predicted how things unfolded. Why? Because of free will, our capacity to make choices in the moment and divert what seemed to be the direction to go. That is the sport of living on the planet Earth. So while writing this, I took a break. This is last night, and saw the classic 80s film, at least half of it, Pleasantville. I saw that the classic 80s film Pleasantville was on. Now, if you've seen it, you remember that Pleasantville was a town that was pleasant for all because it stayed the same. Everything was black and white and predictable, quite like a comfort zone. Enter the young man from the future who brings in the color virus that is activated in a few people. This reawakening turns them into freaks, human beings in color with sensuality, passion, and individuality. The town rebels against the push of the changes and find one and all that each has a capacity to wake up to the greater knowing of who they are. The opening deepens the connections between them and amplifies the senses to experience life more richly. A perfect companion to this whole session of relationships and claiming the original design that has been dormant up until, what? Got cut off. That'll be there by the morning. It's just one line. Really, up until now. What was discovered in that movie and what I saw today down at the beach, the storms have been heavy along the coast. At least the waves have. And when the waves come in their bigness, they carve and chew up the shoreline. And these beautiful, long beaches turn into jagged rocks everywhere, where last week there were nothing but long beaches, this week there are rocks everywhere. Beautiful in their own way, but also underscoring what's underneath the whitewash of how we attempt to make things okay. It's the rocks that are the substance. It's from the rocks themselves that the particles of sand are formed as a result of the erosion and the wasting away and the transformation of those rocks. Our woundings are the rocks and the stones that whittle away. You know where I'm going with this whole thing. The metaphor is beautiful. The idea of Pleasantville, where we try so hard to make everything be okay. And I hear these words echoing in my head from people I have known about how they just want it to be the right and be exactly the way it's supposed to be so that we can feel at peace for a moment and feel like everything is just that, okay. And yet the design is in that ever-oscillating movement, changing form in a breath based upon what the interaction is and how each party responds. It cannot stay the same, and yet we yearn for this, like to live in Pleasantville, where, dang it, the guy knew that at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night he was going to have meatloaf. But what was interesting about the movie is that inside every one of those people who rebelled in the beginning, who fought and threw items and broke windows and tore down elements because of these people who were showing them a part of themselves, they all, in an instant where emotion burst forth and their essence was allowed to flower, they all turned into color. It was a beautiful thing to come on. And thank God I listened and went in there. So can you see that to acknowledge loss, pain, and abandonment before we move into these other elements of relationship is necessary because it is such a seductive, as I use the word, diversion for us, that even in the midst of our awareness and our expansion, we keep getting pulled in that direction because it's been going on for so long. And you know what? It's kind of cool to be a victim. You know, you can get a lot of support for being a victim. Until somebody says, wow, are you being a victim? You go, no, I'm not being a victim. Because no one wants to be, but they like it. I've been there. I've been a poor me. I played it over and over and over again until it didn't work anymore, until I got bored with it. But this is the nature of the whole evolution of it. Let's go down to the shadow of forgiveness and see one more element of how we attempt to divert ourselves from the body of relationship that lives within us. Forgiveness is a profound process of letting go of attachment to someone or something, releasing the energetic debris that keeps one hooked into the memory and its impact. Though it has been a part of many organized religions for centuries, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. I forgive you, my son. It is also a foundational piece, of the New Age as a way to be more spiritual. And that last thing, as a way to be more spiritual, is the great diversion in the New Age. It's like, let me run away from feeling any pain that I have had, and let me just be a spiritual person, and I can forgive everything, and I'm just going to live, I'm going to have cookies and cream for the rest of my days. And then you get diseases that develop, like lupus, like these ones that basically just debilitate the whole body and cause a constant discomfort and pain because the body is just saying, come home. Come home. As such, it has many permutations and ways in which to secure it, from the simple act of saying it to complex rituals that lead one through a pathway of release. In theory, it is a powerful process that is very useful when done in a complete way. Otherwise, it is simply another diversion that separates one from the deeper nature of one's choices, actions, and experiences. Change begins from where you are. And where you are is the result of a whole lot of decisions, thoughts, beliefs, actions, experiences, perspectives, woundings, contractions, choices, resistance, unexpressed energy, interpretations, words unspoken, emotions experienced and unreleased, memories, intentions, plans. On and on it goes. You can see that simply throwing some words on this box of life may not be enough to move you over your personal mountains. The energy of the unprocessed events still festers in the body, waiting for an opportunity to release, to flow, and to clear. The old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. When I stand in the face of someone who has wronged me, which is again, open to interpretation, who has impacted me in a way that I have perceived as being wrong or debilitating or hurtful. And I stand there with my chin up and I say, I forgive you. And the crowd, you can hear it, oh, how beautiful. How beautiful this person is to stand above all of this and just forget it. Let it go. Well, did they let it go? Not in the tissue. And so that form of forgiveness is going to fall flat on his face in no time when this person who I just forgave does something else and all this venom comes out in me. It is my belief and experience that life is about responding to energy. The residue contained in all of us from the unexpressed moments of living is strongly impacting cells and tissues to keep fear energies restricting our openings and subsequent changes. To create fertile ground for the beautiful process like forgiveness, one must dilute the cesspool of energetic memory that holds the wound in place. Once diminished and better yet cleared, then the salve of forgiveness can be applied with likely success. We are shown ourselves by the people and situations that are attracted to our lives from the moment we arrive. It is too easy to follow the programs of blame to provide the illusion of safety and power. Victims of life rarely evolve into whole beings. The use of temporary solutions, no matter their hoped-for effectiveness, only postpones us having to eventually look squarely in the face of the I am that I am expressing as me. New Age techniques, substances, or behaviors that do not serve. One must go into the pit of the debris, the vipers, and shovel it out consciously via action and support. Clear the energetic substance and then ride the higher frequency wash of forgiveness to reclaim a place of loving power. This is the recipe for lasting change and reawakening. The more that complete forgiveness is practiced, the clearer one gets. On the other side of this process lies the capacity to no longer engage in thought, word, and action that requires the use of the forgiveness process. Higher frequency beings serve the vibration of love that infiltrates each moment and action with a greater truth. Let the heart wash the mind clean by liberating the body. There are your tools for action. That is your recipe for reclaiming the whole self. Forgiveness is a beautiful, beautiful process that is a high-frequency process. And it is high frequency because it's based upon the willingness to clear the debris. It is a tool to assist in clearing the debris if used in conscious ways. But if it's used as a whitewash, as a cute little blanket to throw over everything and posture ourselves, then we're headed for a showdown at some point. So, I just went ahead and I cut into two long-standing bastions of the New Thought movement and to see how they have actually been utilized and forced upon us. And now that that's out in the open, and now that we're sitting on the dog's nose, we can go into the next thing. Let's go into relationships with others. Woohoo! So, if we're looking for activity tonight, the activity mostly is about you having relationship with self and doing things on your own. There's no other way to put it. I mean, we can throw a bunch of things out and do these proclamations and affirmations together, which maybe we'll get time to do. We can sing some songs together and work our vibration. We can do some breathing exercises and clear out some old energies. But in the end of it all, you hang up the phone and there you are in the mirror of yourself, facing those who are in your life, in the form or in the flesh or in the etheric, creating relationship and making choices that, one, take care of you, and two, take honor and bless the other through a heart that is open. It's practice, and this beautiful life gives us much practice. There's just too much meat in these topics to not put it out there, because to me it's very, very critical. Beyond the one in the mirror, the relationship with others is the most telling expression of the overall health of you. The laws of attraction and as within, so without reveal you to you in stages. What you feed the self is manifested in the forms of the moments and the players and the circumstances and the environments. Pretty simple to get. You may not understand how, but it does work that way. So why not step into it wholeheartedly with arms and eyes wide open? And let me remind you, fear is no longer a usable or accepted excuse for hanging back. You transcended that in session one, whether you accept that or not. When we laid fear on the table of our awareness, we stood up and we walked right over it. In fact, we stomped it into the earth. And now we are reaping the rewards of those choices. We attract at the frequency in which we live in this moment and the immediate past. We are rolling and flowing. We are a rolling and flowing revelation to ourselves. How cool is that? So knowing this and choosing to act in alignment will bless you in ways far beyond the walls of limited thinking can keep you stuck. Might as well surrender to the higher frequencies of the design. Say goodbye to the way it has been, old friend, and good riddance, too. When you get this, and when you practice the presence and awareness of that and begin to see the interconnectivity, the reflection of your own breath in those before you, things will change very, very quickly. The one before you reflects all your work and the bruised knees and the achievements and the failures. How do you see them? Do you welcome them? Do you notice their flaws? Do you express them or do you swallow them? 1,000 questions to ask, all relevant, but all leading you back to the simple fact you are in a holy process of recreating you, remembering who you were each time you cross the threshold between incarnations, but each time evolving in a higher frequency, knowing that you can actually bring into the next incarnation if you so desired. I am in no way diminishing the relationships we have with others. I am saying that there's way more than meets the eye. And when we begin to embrace those elements and see in this precious being before us, no matter what the experience, we see a very powerful and present teacher for us that is giving us that point of choice to wallow in our do or to actually take some responsibility and accountability for our choices to make a different next moment. Obviously, the invitation here is to see clearly that which is before you. We are too easily swayed to find fault and diss the one before us, criticizing and judging and pushing and manipulating and abusing. And sadly, this is how we tend to treat ourselves until we don't. And that is the key here. We have a choice. I honestly do not care what has happened to you or me anymore. For that is a rabbit hole that distracts us enough to drink the poison again and wallow in our poor me place. It serves us for a time, but certainly not anymore. Haven't you been listening through this course? Is it sinking in yet just how powerful you are, how expansive you are, how unlimited you are? The one before you has clues, information that points you to where you have to work to do in where you have work to do in expanding your awareness and reawakening. If you start to use this, then you will soon be embracing the wounded parts of you and freeing the debris to bring you home. Then the ones before you will be there to party with you and love you and lift you up. Jesus, why not? You know, with this information, we could have figured it out in the first relationship we had. And then just been having a cruise. But understand that our vibration was just not ready. We had to sort of ramp ourselves up over all of this time to reach a place where we could handle the truth because we are powerful enough. It is classic to say that the pointing finger of criticism has four fingers pointing back at ourselves. We pay attention to that which we have disowned. Stop it. Bring it all home. Start to own what your judgments and criticisms are, what compromises your moments and steers you to hesitate in life, what keeps you looking out the window at life instead of running through the fields in life. It's not easy to sit here and be humbled by this information that really pushes us. Now, it invites us and escorts us to the opening in the field where we can live fully. We have to do the work. It's becoming, I was going to say, painfully obvious that we have to do the work. The illusion of Ed McMahon at the door with $1 million check is just good television. We have to do the work. And this is what this whole thing is reminding us about relationship. Now, that's not to say that the work is overwhelming, because energetically we can let go of things fairly quickly and reclaim an awareness of ourself that changes the nature of those relationships that are in our lives at this very moment. We are in relationship with one another, with many at a time. Start to see how each feeds us and gives us information about how we are showing up and choosing to be. What is there to lose? The old ways? Come on. Enough of that. The best primary relationships are filled with people who provide us with what the main partner cannot. Now, we're getting into some radical territory here now. No one can give us all of what we want. Expecting this has destroyed many, many marriages and partnerships. Rather, open to the one who communicates well, one who communicates well, the one who plays well, or the one who loves the sky as much as you. Spend time with them in full disclosure to your partner and then show up in your delight to him or her, the partner. They will quickly see the value of this and celebrate the reduction on them to deliver on everything, the reduction of stress upon them. And even their fears about sex and betrayal and abandonment will start to heal. Just saying. You hear what I'm saying here. This new age rabbit hole of the soulmate has just been such as messed with so many minds, and actually, you know, created so many workshops where people walk out going, I don't feel anything. I don't feel any better than I did when I went in. I didn't find my soulmate there. All I got is a realization that I have to buy another book to get part two. This is what this paragraph is hinting towards. To begin to expand and open to the fact that it is the relationships of many. And I understand it can get messy, but the only reason it gets messy if there is dishonesty in it. And the dishonesty is based upon the woundings that have yet been cleared. Everything is information. Suppose you're someone who doesn't like to race cars, and yet your mate is all about racing cars and wants you to be a part of it. And yet along comes someone else who loves to race cars, and they start racing cars together, and then the partner comes home, and the next thing you know, he's so happy because he's got to do what he wanted to do that he basically pours all of that into your arms and into the experience. I'm being a little romantic about this, but you get the picture. When we realize that we are served by, in a sense, the largeness of relationship, we begin to realize that there's no point in stressing the poor soul that has to do it all for us. Enough said. People come and go. We are taught that things have to last. In the search for the perfect one to complete us, we get easily sucked into the idea that unless you are with me, I am nothing. I can't live if living is without you. Let them come and go, but fully show up every time you're around and with them. Do you hear this? Engage the relationship and let it give you its gifts of revelation and understanding and acceptance and witnessing. And if it struggles, look for the information and own your parts. Running to another will only change the packaging, not the issues. See, the world is prone and it's sensationalized about rebound relationships. And it's the tabloids that paint this picture of the lives of the rich and famous who just dally and move from one thing to the next. And like the marriage of it's most intense in England when, you know, the prince got married and the whole world was invested in their happiness. For God's sakes, I don't have to talk any more about that. It's beautiful, it's romantic, it's Disney, it's fairy tale, and it's shallow. And people live vicariously through others instead of realizing that all of that energy can go first to themselves to create a very, very powerful and healed being that then opens to life where love lives and things change. The best primary relationships are filled with people who provide us with what the main partner cannot. No one can give us all of what we want. Expecting that is destroyed. I said that already. Okay, boy, that must be important. Just went right back to it. Create friendships and show up to them all. Show up to them. All relationships must be fed with word and action and intention. Choose to be real and authentic and honest. Talk about it when it is not working. Celebrate it when it is. This paragraph contains elements where I've had challenges. I got my reasons. I've had my woundings. And some of them just sort of hang around and nip at my heels. And yet the idea of really cultivating friendships has been a hard one for me. Call it all the losses. Call it my need to be creative and be in my own and to isolate because that's where I'd recharge. You can call it what you want. That I don't feed the friendships in my life yet the way that they deserve. And so by making it known here, I don't know why I'm doing this. Kick, 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 kick. But it gives me a point of reference and says, you know what? It's time to own that and do something different with it. And that's what that's about. Most people are wounded because they were not witnessed as whole and beautiful, and because they were not given permission to speak their truth without another taking it on or feeling blamed or whatever. They have the tendency to view experience and people through the eyes of the woundings and all the decisions for survival made at the point of the wounding. Be sensitive and compassionate to self and others. We all need someone we can lean on. Show up and be engaged in your moments with the one before you. See, in a sense, each of these little elements are filled with information about how to show up to our moments in different ways. You probably know it all, but I just have the opportunity here to put it all in front of you. Pick something and do it. See how it works for you. Some only pass through our lives in a wisp. I suggest that you begin to see any interaction and acquaintance as useful and even informational. Angels come and go, as do the guides. Your past struggles show up in a new package to see if you've learned the lessons. Remember that your higher self orchestrates your moments, and all who come into your sphere of awareness. Live awake and notice everything. It is so much richer. No accidents, just opportunities to wake up. Yes, this is the whole new way to live your golden moments. Learn to not sleep through your awake time. It is a much more fruitful adventure and journey. Whew. So let's go right from there into being in and living in love. This whole session is rich with opportunities to go back and read through these, every one of them, and looking at them and realizing that there's information that just came in, there's information that is useful, there's information that wasn't aware last week that is now. Use these as tools for resources, because we're changing patterns of behavior. And even though we have a ton of assistance, it's not easy at times. It's just not easy. So call upon your resources. All right, this being in love and living love turned out to be pretty lengthy. Love is all there is. It is the frequency of energy upon which the cosmos and all within it is created. It is the glue, the fabric, the connection between all of life's forms. It is the substance that activates the heart to bring life forth. Love is the frequency of the source, constantly infused into the subatomic particles of I am expressing as me. It is what brings us back to wholeness, the divine highway that reveals to us what we have always been, love itself. Love is not a commodity, a currency of exchange, control, and manipulation that can be turned off and on at a whim to allow us to get our way with others. Nor is it the putty that can be used to build walls around our being. Love is fluid, flowing, oscillating, ever-changing, without form, and always itself in vibration. It is the user, the receiver, who molds it to fit the perspective, wound, or circumstance. Here lies the challenge in relationship. Love has been abused by humans. The foundational force has been trivialized to become a tool of misinformed use that pushes and pulls others, reflecting always how we see it, or better yet, how we see and experience ourselves. We equate love to people or a person. We make love the external element that delivers happiness, sadness, despair, or you name it. Relationships have become a circus, a predictable journey to nowhere, for the most part, as people use one another to get glimpses of themselves and then run away as fast as they can when the image materializes. Relationships are conditional in practice and used to control the behavior of others to fit our personal woundings and beliefs. Hear that. Relationships are conditional in practice and used to control the behavior of others to fit our personal woundings and beliefs. We attract frequencies of beings to us to reinforce our personal sense of value and the nature and degree of our unexpressed woundings at the hand of, yes, you guessed it, relationships. I keep saying this because it's so important to keep repeating these key elements underneath about how the power of attracting that which we need to face, we need to reshape. Relationships are a powerful vehicle. Certain collective paradigms have been forced upon us to protect a normalcy. Marriage, same-sex relationships, soulmates, deviance, humans and God, affairs, infidelity, timeliness of sex, as well as what timelines of sex, as well as what is appropriate. Sex is dirty, to name a few. Culturally, we perpetuate the information, misinformation, and play out the learned roles of the right relationships ad infinitum, and suffer through our moments of living. Relationships are big business. Marriage, divorce, courting, sex, clothing, automobiles, real estate, entertainment, death, birth, medicine, politics, religion, culture, war, criminality, therapy, spirituality, animals, the earth. This is no simple thing. Every one of those things is a major business. Social mores and beliefs and standards infiltrate the music, the movies, the art, the coffee table chat, the airwaves, as one tells the other how to do it. Lifetimes of the same old have delivered us into the clutches of will it ever be loving at all? People invest their emotions, their hearts and souls into becoming victims of love, perpetuating the learned woundings and lessons of the forefathers in the playground. Endless waves of, I can't live if living is without you. Thank you, Barry. Disempower us and make us dependent and codependent and pathetic and yearning and hurt and pained and hardened and isolated and sad and hateful and angry and judgmental and manipulative and abusive and justified and suicidal and numb and rebounder and liars and cheats and murderers. Yes, that's a run-on sentence. But it had to be spoken that way. Because the beliefs put us into these activities, forced us in a sense, because we didn't know any better. And how many lifetimes have we played every one of those roles? Many. And here's the scoop, that all the while the true frequency of love purrs on, infusing the cells with life and holding the beacon of light that will eventually lead us all home. For the frequency never changes. It simply sustains and invites us to remember and to return to who we are. A simple veering off the track ignites the cellular remembering of what it is and then activates the sweeping inner wave that realigns if we choose. Do you hear what I'm saying here? These things are happening so quickly, and they are all based upon choice. In order to make an informed choice, one must be informed. Thus, the nature of the information that's being passed on. But again, you got to lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You and I have to do something with this information in order to activate the process that is waiting to be activated. And still too many of us are invested in loss, pain, and abandonment. And for that to finally change, the cosmos has had to hold a celestial intervention. Each of us has been called on the carpet, confronted by our loving family, to take stock and see the supreme error of our ways. Enough. It cries and shakes us into spasming away the precious programs that steer us like automatons into the valley of the same old, do you love me? Am I good enough? Are you my mother? Is this it? How could you do this to me? And all in the nick of time. Of course, in miracles, establish it. Everything is love or fear. No other options. Choose. It determines the quality and the experience of your life. Love as the substance of I am can clear away the debris if we allow it. Yes, it can be a hard thing to separate from the way it has been, for that has been addicting and fun, and the control feels oddly good. But one moment of clarity and reflection will quickly reveal the cost of the lost choices. No one is going to fix you except you. And the great paradox is that you do not need fixing, just a good waking up. And that is what is occurring in these sweeping Aquarian times. Wake up. Love must be allowed. It is an inside job, period. We each must find the core of us that is pure and untarnished and uncompromised and call it to life. Take it by the hand and lead it into the light of love that will then do the energetic makeover to jumpstart us once again, free from the debris of that other way. And honestly, all that is required is a first step to initiate the good faith move that starts the avalanche of remembering and activation. And in a breath, you'll begin to see the beauty in the form of the moment, ever oscillating to the higher perspective to see that each design is perfect in essence, awaiting our own witnessing. As the external sight evolves, the inner sight begins, and we send beams of loving light to the shells surrounding our precious hurts and wounds and abuses. The tissues and cells move and release the substance that has directed our beliefs and actions for far too long. We begin to see our value, our worth, our necessity in the grand scheme of things. The flaws we bought into begin to fade as the colors revealed and the love wash initiates the beauty we have misplaced. The misperceptions and the learned limits are jettisoned as we step out of the cloak of judgment and criticism and reach for the loving arms of reunification and heart-to-heart connection. The world itself leans toward us out of affection and wants to hold us and be held. There is no end to this opening as it sweeps away everything unlike itself. Read that 1,000 times. It's the promise of things to come. It's the promise of things that are here. It's reaching out a hand and waiting for us to take it in great faith. So call it fantasy or a pipe dream or make me Pollyanna or a New Age guy. Whatever serves you for now is but a mirror to your own awakening process. Belief is a catalyst for action. Action precedes the magnetism of form. The form reflects the substance of the belief. Love is all there is. In this frequency, the capacity for unconditional love reveals itself. To be in this state is to see oneself first with unfiltered eyes and a heart that is wide to be able to allow the immensity of this design masterpiece. To be in this state is to be a star being radiating the pure light to the all that is. It is the very substance and state from which we have come in design and in expression. Home again, free of the lower frequency misinformation and cellular buy-in beliefs that had us by the balls for so damn long, unconditional love reflects unabashed self-love. Clearing the debris and choosing to act on the waves of now and the substance underneath the wave is what will give you back your whole self. In this state, relationships flow and dance freely in amorphous expression, nourishing and feeding and expanding and exploding in passionate full sensory bursts, rewards for a job well done. We stand in the heart-to-heart oneness with one another, unhesitant to fully engage in the infinite now. Does this sound even remotely interesting to you? If so, then take the first step. Acknowledge that there is more than you have been led to believe. Move forward in faith and catch the first clue that reveals itself in a flash of light from the left upper quadrant of the feminine side of you, lifting you out of any inkling of hesitation. That instant is the release of the tendrils of the Piscean male-dominated confusion that serves no one anymore. This is the birth of the grand time of the androgynous whole being that knows itself in all of its expressing, seeking only active connection and unification with so many forms of self showing up in the parade of nows that dance infinitely into the distance. The dance has begun. Now pay attention and grasp every brass ring that comes your way. The action of this moment activates the forms of the next. Claim the process and celebrate the design, divine design, that has loved you beyond your capacity to even grasp it for the ever-expanding sphere of forever. Love is all there is. You learn to love by loving. Choose love always and in all ways. There is no other choice unless you dig the feeling of wallowing and having your liver plucked by crows. Just saying. These are the fertile times of dreams. Your world is determined by your perspectives and your choices. The events can all be washed in love no matter the form. This action itself sends good faith flashes to the cosmic control center, which then dispenses oodles of goodies to elevate you into the conscious ecstasy of the I Am. Choosing love first opens a door to compassion, empathy, gratitude, and grace. These four higher frequency elements expand your being exponentially as they are pure expressions of the foundation of love frequency, free of the human intervention energy of dispersion and intentional misuse. They are activated by the opened heart chakra that encompasses both the heart and the higher heart, which is the agape love that connects all beings into symbiotic alignment. Living from the heart is a celebration of the conscious knowing of your design. Responding to life through the heart invites higher vibration beings and experiences and elevates the experience of the I am in the now moment to reveal the celestial nuances of multidimensional living. Grace is a direct result of the applied use of the other three, a gift from a knowing cosmos to make your moments more flowing and seed the deeper connection with the infinite web of life. You are love, made of the very substance that holds together the cosmos and all its players. You are in the frequency and substance of that pure love 24/7, whether you want to be or not. To choose to consciously embrace this is the launch pad to infinity and beyond. All the suffering you choose is a decision away from liberation. It's VY Day, Victory You, and you are on that endless perfect wave that will reveal to you the majesty of the source. From now on, each breath and fuses your being with the perfect frequency for you to be in and live in love. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Let's go to the care and feeding of relationships. Actually, no, we're going to the conscious relationship with the etheric beings and dimensions. Nope, sorry. Boy, getting messed with here. Care and feeding of relationships. Strictly a list of some do's. It may be repetitive, but I think it's useful. Relationships of all kinds must be consciously tended to. One must be open to receive and willing to give for the sweet exchange to take place. To take proper care of oneself first paves the way to having the clarity and energy to sustain clean connections with others. Relationships are in constant evolution. This requires awareness and a willingness to share feelings, thoughts, and experience with all parties in the relationship. We can no longer hide behind not sharing. We can no longer hide behind our unwillingness to speak our truth because it undermines the success of a relationship. We're all being called to be something more in alignment of who we are, certainly beyond the self-imposed limitations that we have lived under, individually as well as one and all. The debris of the past to unexpressed emotion interferes with the evolution of each relationship and keeps one circling in an eddy of fear as long as one chooses to do so. Relationships aren't able to grow when there are internal secrets that aren't even known to the parties. We're talking about the energetic debris. And we know by now, as we move into into our 20th of the lessons here, the sessions, that the energetic debris doesn't need to be understood. It just needs to be released. And we have a blank load of ways to do it that have been established thus far. The encounters we experience are not random. Each player is seated with the exact frequency and personal history experience to feed us the vibration that will reveal the next reawakening of the I am that I am expressing as me. Can you live that way? Can you be open to the idea that everything coming into your life from the is not random? It is a purposeful meeting for a moment in time, even if it is just to stand in the presence or to rub elbows with a frequency being because that's all that was needed. Not everything is a huge revelation here. We engage as long as we do. The moments are the road signs and the beacons that point us to the next knowing. Evolution is personal and collective for all involved. Thus, we serve one another. We're starting to face the realities of what's called the agreement in marriages till death do us part. When the institution of marriage was put into place, till death do us part, basically meant 22 years, maybe 15 years. It meant, in a way, to ensure the survival of the species, but also to make sure that the farm was going to be worked, that people were going to be there. And so we agreed to be a part of ourselves. That didn't allow for personal evolution. That didn't allow for the reality of the fact that vibration changes and that we use up the experience to a point where we let it go. Now, in no way am I implying that we just sort of, romp through the woods here, dancing from relation to relationship, because we obviously know that that has a cost. And that usually is based upon the woundings. We're talking about really clear, conscious beings who go, man, this has been great, and it feels like it's time to do something else. And they honor it and bless it and move on to something else, knowing full well that the love that has been contained and established will continue to serve as long as both are in incarnation. We're just saying it's time to look at things differently, because we've been so embedded in the idea of keeping things in the form, like Pleasantville, of wanting to hold on to stuff, afraid that our life is going to be forced to change, afraid that we're going to have to let go of these woundings, afraid that we're going to have to actually cry the tears, whatever that is. Chance meetings are anything but that. The vibration does the work. Occasionally, we have strong insights that completes a long-standing circuit. Typically, however, we have an experience that crawls out of the veil to give us a glimpse that functions as a catalyst to do the next thing. Like I said, that's all it is. It's just a nudge, and then we move in a different direction, like two balls on the pool table. A gentle nudge changes the direction. To think that we can leave one thing, person, for another for a better time is foolish and short-sighted if the inner work learnings are not attended to. The previous one brought all the opportunities we can handle to wake up to our limiting patterns and compromising beliefs. If we choose to not learn and run away, we will surely find ourselves staring at the same face in a new hat. The heart is a primary vehicle that reveals the wholeness of life. Protecting the heart from feeling, releasing, clearing, expanding, celebrating, loving will be your ticket to a whole lot of lifetimes where you simply recycle the familiar and go slowly towards remembering while you wonder why the same people keep coming back in new clothes. The past does not serve a relationship, for it ties each to a form that only served that moment. Let me say it again. The past does not serve a relationship, for it ties each to a form that only served that moment. Expansion is tethered to the fear residue of the massive experiences that made up the time together. Release can only come when one or both unplug from what was. This requires a willingness to see each moment as new and choose to toss the loss game, the pain game, and the abandonment game into the abyss where they belong. Eye contact is everything. Listening to the other is the vehicle that translates as witnessing, which leads to healing, which results in the deeper connection that unifies hearts and souls. Tone of voice betrays the emotion underneath the words. This is really what we listen for. Aligning the tone with the emotion and the words will result in communication that opens doors and hearts to seed expansion in the relationship. We can all spot a fakir, even if we cannot articulate it. A fakir is a poser. Breathing together diminishes fear and unifies the heart, which then reveals the deeper meaning of the current connection. Touch is essential to bridge the gap between physical and spirit. Sending love from the heart through the hands and skin will ignite the complete expanse of all the connections between the two frequencies involved. The ignition of this memory can be a perfect vehicle to clear the energetic debris. It is that powerful. We come into the space of people who resonate with us at the current frequency. Each mutually serves the other for as long as it is needed. Holding on to someone against their inner and outer will is a violation. Learning to bless and let go allows for the necessary motion that reveals the bigger picture to each. Standing alone gives us back ourselves, wrapped in the higher frequency of what has just been learned, further expanding our personal I am-ness. For sex to serve the greater truth, it must have individual and shared meaning based on a higher frequency. It is a cosmic connection that can expand and heal each. It must include the emotional, mental, and spiritual along with the physical for it to be considered holy and divine. It is conscious and it is best served by consistently tending to both partners' energetic and inspired needs. Riding the wave of spontaneity is highly recommended. To dance together in this improvisation requires that the senses are on and the child is active. Opening the backside of the chakras allows the cosmos to flood the experience and lift it out of the sphere of the mundane. We are in constant relationship with all of life. Learning to notice the multi-tiered forms of each moment will reveal the majesty and magic of the connections as they oscillate. Maintaining wonder with open inner doors that flood you with deep and glowing gratification at the revelation of the remarkable design. Everything within view is part of your sphere of relationship, including nature and space and form and people and circumstance, will significantly expand how you are in relationship with life. You are being gifted constantly. See it as such. Experience fully on all levels all that is brought to the altar of your awareness. And know that you have immediate access to all the relationships you have ever had in any of your incarnations and in all future lives. What? Knowing this, you are able to draw upon experiences and identify strangers that wander into your field. You can bring forth the healings necessary and manifest the allies ready to assist. Leave nothing unsettled or unresolved, for you have the capacity to fully serve every form of every moment. The tools are there, and the design is symbiotic to the current choice, assuring success and balance and release is needed. Be a willing participant in your life. It will truly serve you beyond your wildest dreams. Yes, it is that profound. Remember the primary need of self-care as it prepares you to embrace and serve whatever may come. You will have more of everything to give to the current form, and you will not be depleted or compromised. The more you attend to it, the closer you are to your frequency of your original design, which allows you to self-sustain. I'm dropping a lot into these, and the information that came through, I'm not sure what a lot of this stuff really means. But it makes sense. And what it's doing, like the whole nature of this course, is to plant seeds that will sprout in you and give you the meaning that is relevant to the frequency of the I am expressing as you. All beings are connected and interconnected. All behaviors impact the whole. All feelings are collectively felt. All choices influence the forms of all life. We oscillate in and out of an infinite number of lives in multidimensional interchanges that transcend time and space. Simultaneous lives in relationship with completely unique lives are happening. We often integrate them during the dream state and in meditation. The bottom line is to be open to always inviting in the larger expanse. Trust implicitly how relationships mirror how we treat our own self. The more we love self and tend self, then the more loving and sustaining the outer relationships are. Having a lot of relationships serves the many parts of us. That's information to help you in whatever you are in, to give you another way of looking at things. Conscious relationship with nature. For some reason, I'm thinking we've done that. Conscious relationship with etheric beings and dimensions. This will be a good way to end our time together here. Obviously, a lot has been spoken. Obviously, a lot of information has been given that can cause you to run away. The information, I believe, as it was given, is about reawakening and reconnecting us with a deeper part of ourselves so that we can truly be in relationship, perhaps for the first time, since the whole incarnation process began. With this new clarity and with the new information that's coming in about personal responsibility, about being willing to be in your vibration and taking care of that first, and then making the kinds of connections that we are capable of with one another, these are a hint of the times that are happening and the things that are coming. Hopefully, you are beginning to see how the cosmos cares for itself. There are no mistakes. There is no judgment. There is only oscillations, evolving forms that come and go like the celestial wind, vibrations that move in the now moment to influence and embrace and create and dissolve and follow the intentional flow of the infinite I am. Establishing relationships, actually being aware of the bigger picture, is enough to rock your world and reveal to you all that you have been missing. It is becoming glaringly obvious that our conscious choice to participate, to open, to know, is a primary initiator of significant awakening. It comes down to how open and connected you are willing to be. The mundane becomes even more so when it is brought into the light of the greater reality. The challenges of life on earth become stepping stones to the beyond, the form that has laid in anticipation for eons somewhere in the cellular storehouse of you and me. And still, as if in a supreme sleight of hand, we are able to fully function in both realms and more. I am speechless at the unfolding cosmic scape that is revealing itself. The thought of limitations is ancient. The investment in my favored forms of thinking is showing rapidly diminishing returns. Any remnants of fear are being jettisoned into the old ways receptacle and sprinkled as useful fertilizer to those who still choose to dwell in the once upon a time of the confining past. And there are many. The trash of these times is gold in vibration to those who claim ignorance and sputter around like seeds in the wind. We continue to serve one another. The farther we go, the more we leave behind of value, useful awakenings to those who are just starting. The infinite string of souls all reach towards the light from different places along the continuum. Everyone will get home at some point. It is a remarkable and unquestionably loving design that we find ourselves immersed in, an atmosphere that embraces all of the prodigal sons and daughters who chose that road that led to the experience. It is all okay. Being afraid no longer serves. It may be that even our emotions are being refined. New feelings birthed out of the old forms. That is exciting. Opening to relationship with our energetic self, our whole self, other precious beings, nature, and the elements steers us to the threshold of the celestial beings in the far reaches of the multidimensional design. The more we open, the more we claim. The more we claim, the more is revealed. The more that is revealed, the more we seek, on and on, feeding itself with delicious morsels of scrumptious nowness. Yum. Scrumptious nowness. Only a frightened fool would look up at the stars and see danger. Our design lifts us to the stars on a nightly basis, free and unfettered to process and explore, reconnoiter the frontiers that are denied us in the waking state up until now. Without a fear of annihilation, there is nothing to interrupt our movement outward and inward. We seek to know ourselves in infinite ways. Thus, there is no end to the glorious journey. We are sustained by energetic signposts who come and go and drop scribbled notes at the altar of awareness, pointing the way around the corner of tomorrow or yesterday to the next treasure. Why even be invested in resisting anymore? The Behind these disappearing veils are the celestial hosts and etheric beings waiting for contact, extending energetic hands to us 24/7, calling in the shadows of our minds to pick up the white courtesy phone. It is time for contact. Hollywood be damned, the cosmos is a loving, friendly place that is actually monitored and formulated on your perspectives and expressions in the now. Can you accept that power? Are you willing to ask for help? The deepest relationships, endless e-ticket rides, all you could ever dream of or desire, the life without limits, it all awaits your call to initiate the connection. Across the access the etheric beings by first blessing and supporting their presence. Let them know they are there. Let them know you know they are there. This acknowledgement opens an inner door that then reveals the smorgasbord available to you. Did you not know you did not know this? What is starting to show is all that we did not know we did not know. Get it? There is no plan here, only the gushing of the moment when the blinders are taking off. Reach out and take what you desire. Ask the thousand questions and expect the answer. Ask how to be in the times and know you'll be shown externally and impregnated with the capacity to access the forgotten pathways. You are about to learn to move in all directions at once. And with the reins off, you can roam free through the cosmic candy store and play to your heart's delight and contentment if you wish. And there will always be playmates, companions, and confidants made of the frequency that aligns with you perfectly. Like putting on a fine shirt, they will immerse with your being to dance through the whatever comes your way. You are a treasured soul as you have been and are still in the physical form, a quality highly valuable to those who have yet to incarnate. Show them what it's like. Teach them the ropes, the how-tos, the nuances of being in skin. Give them emotions to feel through description and vibration. Build your posse of celestials who will journey to the places not even known yet, never alone. Align with the ascended masters and call them into relationships. They are here to serve in very high frequency ways. Be grateful always and do offer appreciation and gifts. You will know in the moment that is. Trust. For this whole journey is about reestablishing your trust in life. The trust will lead to the gratitude which will deliver the grace that flows out of the heart of the source herself into the loving and uninhibited ones. At this level, resistance is a waste of time. Meet the angelic ones and commune with the archangels, calling them forth to bless the forms of your moments. Relationship. Make it happen by choice and by making the call. Show up and do not hesitate to act upon guidance. Again, build your capacity to trust the flow, for at this level there are not things to be worried about. No things. You are fast acquiring the big love vibration that will be your carte blanche to the cosmos. Are you willing? Are you ready? In these birthing times, much of this seems science fiction, but your good faith choices will bridge the gap between possibility and reality. All this you can do from the comfort in the chair, in the altered meditative state if you choose, for now. Ramp up the energies necessary to break the hold of the last threads of the Piscean model limitations. The cosmic playground awaits. See what will happen. Remember, there are no mistakes, only experience and information and endless opportunities to grow in your capacity to connect and integrate and form and experience. Adjustments are required. Experience, learn, then teach. In traversing celestial realms and dimensions, there will be opportunities that may appear as requirements for you to show up and share your vibration with the uninitiated. Remember that tending your vibration creates a smoother road for all who follow in their awakening. Do the work on the leading edge and earn the colors of the vibrational warrior who jumps into the illusory limits to dissolve their power over. By choice, you can exist simultaneously in a variety of dimensions as even exclusive but interconnected soul forms if you desire. Carry on parallel lives and move through them all with the clarity of consciousness and capacity to choose relevant and positive action. Once the veil lifts, the veil lifts. Relationship is a magnetic connection that activates an expansive capacity for all involved. They serve as catalysts for the heretofore unseen, unexplored, and unexperienced. And to think that this all started with your choice to be aware of what is going on within your own physical being. One thing after another activated and revealed the next possibility. Embracing each led to the next, born out of your choice in the moment that preceded its manifestation. Life is that fast. It is time to know this. Enjoy. And do make contact and be grateful and generous in all your journeys. You are feeding the beings to come and reminding them what a loving and beautiful place this all is. Please read the section on the conscious relationship with nature if you haven't read that. I thought we did it. Maybe we did. I've been profoundly impacted by all of this, and I appreciate your indulgence and being willing to listen if indeed you're still there. I know it was a lot of information, but in many ways I'm hearing these as I speak them for the first time, and I am deeply grateful for it. Read through the activities. There are additional activities there. It's a pretty sizable list of things that you can do with a lot of these elements. But once again, as I said, they require action by you, with you, for you, through you. At the places that we're reaching here, the subtleties are profound. You see so quickly how one choice creates a whole new reality. You see very quickly how paying attention to the what before you didn't pay attention to completely alters the course of the next moment and gives you exactly what you desire or even owe so much more. We are here to be in relationship. The relationship of primary source is the cosmic one, and that is exactly in alignment with the personal one of the I am that I am expressing as me. Self-care is fundamental. Your awareness is the vehicle that reveals everything to you. Your willingness to take action is necessary in order to create the form in the next moment. Nothing is by chance, but everything is random. And by that I mean everything has free will about it in this dimension. What may be appearing as the perfect alignment, you can change in a moment by making a choice that doesn't go along with the party. How beautiful. And from what I understand, that is exactly why the source said, let's make it this way. Because in that freedom of choice, it allows the unexpected to occur. And the unexpected is the land of delight. So as an expression, as a vibration of that full source, we are in that creative moment to experience it in the very same way. It just takes getting the debris out of the way. And so now as we bring close to relationship, we realize that from this point forward, relationship is critical to how we deal with our moments. It's what begins to unfold the panorama of possibility that's coming before us. And so we let it go, and we realize that from this point forward, we will walk out the door tomorrow. It's into a brand new world. It's into a world where everything has beautiful meaning to you that gives you a reminder of how you're doing and what's up and what you can do to make the moments the most precious and powerful things and bring about that which you deserve and desire. Yeah, it's a responsibility, and yeah, it might be easier to just hang out in the comfort zone. You can do that anytime you want. I don't believe that many of us are going to do that much anymore, though. It's so limiting. Just so limiting. Thank you so much for being a part of this process tonight. We'll be back next week, and we'll start into the process of being in a state of health. That should be interesting. And I look forward to the revelations that occur and what I can come up with. And again, as always, I am so blessed by your willingness to be a part of this because it gives me a reason to put it together. And that reason to put it together is all that is needed right now. This stuff is coming out in this form, and it's going to be put into other forms. And for that, I am grateful for your willingness to follow along and the flexibility of how it's unfolded through the nuances, through the changes, through the last-minute changes and the canceled classes and all of those things. And by the way, the drive-up and to be a part of my daughter's experience last week was very powerful and precious. 9 hours of driving for 6 songs. But you know, I showed up, and I got to experience and feel something that I had not felt before, and to see my daughter doing something that was very, very powerful to her, to me, and to all those who were there, whether they acknowledged her or not. She was up there paying her dues, and I was happy to be a part of it. Having said that, we had a great deal of conflict before that, and the fact I wasn't going to go. But the reason I did go is because I said I would. And it came down to that. It came down to a point of integrity, a point of authenticity that said, you know what, I'd rather not. I don't feel like driving. There'll be other shows. But what really mattered is when I hung up the phone after we had had our spat. And I realized that I said I was going to go. And that's what I couldn't live with. So, away. And I just want to let you know, because I changed that last week, that I was going to go there, and I wanted to give you the update. I hadn't been around a room full of pot in a long time. Smoked kind of funny. I hadn't been in that energy for a while, and that was a club in Oakland, California. I guess things are different now. Toilet paper really does work to soften the intensity of the sound and the volume of the sound. And if you find yourself in a room where the bass is just so overwhelming, you take your hand and you put it over your heart, and you leave it kind of like a cup. You don't put it flat, because then it just takes the vibration and centers it and sends it into your body. But if you cup it, it creates a bit of a cone that separates the energy off, and it doesn't impact you in the ways it can actually impact your heart rhythm and your heartbeat. There I was, where bass was unbelievably loud. And that's what I learned in that moment. So, next concert you go to, just keep that in mind. I wish you a delightful week, and I really anticipate that there's going to be all kinds of interaction with relationship, from the tiniest to the biggest. We are really in good hands here, and we're all on a beautiful journey. And I'm so grateful. So thank you. I'll stay on for a moment if there are any comments or questions, and then I will end the recording and get the link to you tomorrow. Be well. Blessings.
Hello, Mark. This is Connie. How are you?
I'm good, Connie. How are you?
Wonderful. I just had a quick question about what is your main source for this discussion? I mean, book-wise, or is it part of what you have studied and it's a source of dialogue that you have originated, or?
Connie, it's all of that. And if you look at resources there, it's one of the pages, you'll see a pretty extensive list of books. I didn't read all of those, but I dabbled in them all. And I started to look for pieces that fed me new information. I'm going for really the most current. When I go to Amazon, I look at the publication date. I look for the latest thing that's been done. And I find more accurate and current information in that. You know, even though some of those things that were just published were written maybe a year or two ago, there's still a higher vibration in what I can see, because stuff is changing so fast. So to cite sources, you just have to look on that page and see if anything piques your interest. A lot of it is based upon my experience, and as I wrote this, a lot of it was just kind of, let's just say, pouring into me. And
okay.
I don't know who was talking, because a lot of this is you know, going out into left field a bit, but hallelujah on that.
Well, it's okay, because it's kind of random thoughts that everyone kind of experiences along the way. You know, I just, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's esoteric, but at the same time, it, I don't know, like you precluded with the thought that, you know, like the comfort zone isn't really, it's okay to be there once in a while, but because of the fact we have the new energies that are happening, that we should try to strive for more. Which, is that a journey that everyone can take? Or it seems like people's, not everyone is going to have that evolution happen to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, and I personally think it's inevitable. And I personally think that some will fight and kick and scream and not be willing to let go, and some will leave the planet. But I think the loving energy of the cosmos, you know, coupled with the awakening that's going on in people all over the place, no matter what their circumstance, I do believe that this is happening. We're beginning to see that the familiarity of what we thought took care of us was, has really turned out to be a vehicle that has limited us.
It seems that's very valid. I do believe that. I feel that people aren't the same. The energies are higher. People are more disconnected than ever.
Yeah.
And part of that, I truly believe, is, you know, because they're on their handheld devices, which are amazing because you're getting so much personal knowledge of anything you want to know or any game you want to play or whatever it is that you want to do. But at the same time, it's distancing people from a true love connection, a true spirit to spirit. And I don't know, it is thought provoking, but I think that your ideas were good. You know, I just was curious to know if it was personal revelation or if it was based on what you read and experienced over the years. Or,
yeah, like I said,
it's very, all of that. Very detailed and very, very interesting. But
thank you. And I, you know, as far as the current times, I think the way it looks is a diversion, because a single power outage is going to change everything.
Well, yeah,
that's
true.
And in a sense, the capacities that are being developed through the tools right now, those electronic tools, are actually creating inroads to what we're actually capable of doing without them. So let's just say these are training wheels right now, and they appear to have an impact, and they do have an impact in terms of creating a greater separation. On the other hand, it's keeping that generation from being forced to be like the previous generations, which is then honoring how they are able to unfold in the frequency of who they are in this incarnation. So, you know, just by...
Perfect. Now I understand what you're saying.
When you explained it
that way, I understand now.
Yeah, and that just dropped in. So, I haven't thought of it in those ways, but that I think that has validity.
Well, you're
really
a brilliant
do.
Man.
And I think that...
you are, and you're so intelligent. I mean, the concepts that you're able to put together, it's, for the average person that isn't well-educated in this type of knowledge, it just kind of sometimes seems like bits and pieces here and there, and you don't quite understand. But
it's kind of like the music that I write at times where I see that they might not get the concept, but they get what's underneath it. There's something that resonates with the cells. And even in the way that this writing is, there's something there that I believe is going to impact way more than I thought it would. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I'm not invested in that. But the idea to keep it to create it here has been such a powerful vehicle for me in terms of reawakening my own understanding of my place in this, that I'm delighted with it. I'm just delighted, and feedback like you're giving me is really very important. So thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And so I'm glad that Gabriella had a good concert. I'm her Facebook friend, and I had heard some of her singing with a group of people. I don't know, it was a few weeks ago, I think.
Yep.
But her voice is just beautiful, and she's kind of gone to more of a smooth jazz type of arrangements.
The thing that she did, and she's still experimenting with what she wants to do, and it's evolving.
She sang a song one time called We Shall Overcome, and it was just... And the range of the voice and the emotion was just unbelievable.
Wow.
And she's not singing that way. I don't understand why she's not putting all that scope of emotion and feel. You know what I'm saying? She's kind of like going along with the group, but she has so much power, just like you do.
Yeah, she's making a living.
Oh, okay. How is that?
She's been in some bands that are basically the probably the premier party bands and the event bands up there, and so that's forced her to mainline a little bit, you know, and streamline her process to be able to be very functional in all those settings. And yet her own music is coming out of that, and it's still in the evolutionary stages, as it needs to be.
Yeah, but.
Let her know on Facebook that you're listening.
Oh yeah, I go to it every once. You know, I look at it once a week, all of her writings, because they're just so astute and so, you know, high, just like you. You know, the same.
No,
you guys are very similar.
Beautiful. Well, Connie,
sure,
I wish you well.
The
I'm going to shut down the call here, but
okay.
We'll be in contact. Okay.
Okay.
Right,
I needed to schedule a mentoring session, too.
Yeah,
so
let's do that.
I'll just email you.
Okay.
Continue with personal stuff. Sorry.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye. Okay. We're done now.